The Reverend John Stott once said, "Until you see the cross as that which is done by you, you will never appreciate that it is done for you." With that in mind, I invite you to join with me in saying the bold print in verses 13 and 14 of our gospel lesson, printed in our bulletin. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him, 'You have said so.' And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, 'Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you.' But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?' For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, 'Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?' And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' And Pilate said to them, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let us pray. Our gracious Holy Spirit, through whom our Lord offered himself without blemish to God our Father, open our eyes to behold our Savior upon his cross, that we may receive his grace and become like him in his humility, his goodness, his kindness, and his love. Through Christ we pray, amen. Well, over the last several years, we have taken as our Good Friday meditation one of the seven last words of our Savior from the cross. Those seven words were the word of forgiveness, when Jesus prayed for those who were torturing him, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing." The word of salvation, when Jesus said to the penitent thief, one of those who had been reviling him earlier that day, but who repented, the word of salvation, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of relationship, when Jesus entrusted his mother Mary to the care of his beloved apostle John, saying to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." The word of abandonment, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The word of distress, when Jesus said, "I thirst." The word of triumph, when our Savior declared, "It is finished." And the word of reunion, when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This evening we consider what is perhaps the most poignant word of all, the word of abandonment. Jesus' words, quoting the opening verse of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? In those moments, Jesus was expressing the heart of a devoted son to his loving father, the father who had loved him for eternity, the father with whom he had enjoyed face-to-face loving fellowship, the father who said to him, for all to hear, at his baptism, you are my beloved son. You are the son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus was submitting to a different sort of baptism. It was not the cooling waters of the Jordan that flowed over him now. Now he was soaked in mockery and derision, in the spit of sinners, in his own sweat and blood, and in the filth of our sin. We should understand that his cry was not one of hopelessness or doubt. It was one of faith and devotion. After all, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the Father wasn't forsaking his son altogether. He could never do that. Jesus had faith that he would not do that. And Easter will prove that he did not do that. But on Good Friday, the Father did give up his son for us. He did give up his son to be delivered into the hands of sinners and over to the forces of darkness. And he gave him up to his own divine judgment. In those moments on the cross, in the words of the creed we so often confess, Jesus descended into hell. That place, that condition of utter forsakenness, cursedness, and darkness, in order that we might be restored to God, blessed as his adopted children in Christ, and have the light, not the outer darkness of his judgment, but the wonderful, joyful light of his face shining upon us in Christ for eternity. Jesus descended into hell so that through faith in him, simple faith in Jesus, we would never have to go to that dreadful place. Not for eternity, not for 1 minute, not for a fraction of a second. Jesus took that eternal damnation upon himself. He drank that cup in its fullness for us on the cross, that we may never have to drink a drop of it, but instead can drink the cup of his blessing, a cup that overflows to us in him. And thus, as the body of our Lord was torn for us on the cross, the curtain of his body was torn for us on the cross, in the temple, that thick curtain in front of the most holy place was torn in two from top to bottom. It was torn from top to bottom to show that this was a deed of God. This was God's hands doing this. And it was torn in two to demonstrate that through Jesus's forsakenness, through the curtain of his torn body, we are forgiven. We are restored to communion with God and life in him. We're able to run into God's presence as a toddler runs into the presence of his father, of his daddy, because of what Jesus has done for us, and experience the embrace of the Father forever. All this through the kindness of the crucified one, of whom the centurion confessed, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love. What a cost. He was forsaken that we, like the centurion, may stand forgiven at the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.